the Hunting Dog Public Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Moreland. This is the place where we talk everything hunting dog and working dog related. We're just here to promote the sport that we love. So y'all buckle up, because you're along for the ride. Today's word, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is all you need, for my power is the greatest when you are weak. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. All right, guys, welcome to the Hunting Dog Public Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Moreland, and today we have special guest, an LPK member, Bart Williams. Mr. Bart, how are you?
Very blessed. How are you?
Man, I'm the same. It could be a lot worse, buddy.
That's right. We're all blessed more than we deserve.
That's 100% fact. So, Mr. Bart, we always started off with telling a little about ourselves and where we're from. So, can you do that for us?
You bet. I'm Bart Williams from Marlton, Arkansas, 42 years old, or I should say young, and just living the dream. Work at the paper mill here, mill right, and run these dogs for pleasure.
Yep. So I guess the first time I met you was it 22 when the ice storm was at the UMCA World Hunt?
Yeah, 21 or 22, the ice palooza.
Yes, sir. Ice palooza. And I had a great time, and I thought you was very generous to me being a newcomer, and I really appreciated that, and that really stood out to me. And
well, you bet, man. I was there once too, and it takes all to keep this sport going. And without generosity and people answering questions and all that, this sport would die a long time ago.
It sure would. And I think a lot of people are pretty intimidated about coming to it, and I understand that, because you don't know what to expect and you don't know what to do. And like I said, I just really appreciated that out of y'all. The whole group was extremely nice to me. But
well, you bet. We got a pretty good group of guys. They're all more like brothers to me than friends, you know. So
yeah, I get that. So Mr. Bart, how did you I say Mr. Heck, I didn't realize we was pretty close the same age.
Oh, that's all right. I'll answer to about anything. That's better than what I get called at work. So
everything under the sun.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Mr. Bart, how did you get into these dogs?
Man, like everybody else, my grandpa was a big coon hunter, retired coon hunting, went squirrel hunting, and he hunted a bunch of feist and smaller cur, more like cur, feist, cross, and just followed him for a lot of years, and got older, hunted my own hounds, got out of the sport for a few years, and decided I was going to get back into it, and I always missed it. I love watching a dog. I've trained a few labs, just enjoyed watching dog work, whether it be a cattle dog or a retriever or pointer bird dog, whatever. So I got back into it, and tried a few dogs here and there, you know, the story of, you know, try this one, you'll like it and whatever. So apparently I was hard to please. I thought I should be seeing more at what I was going and trying, you know. I ain't knocking anybody's stuff, but I got a hold to Gary Mitchell, and he had a young dog that wasn't for sale. And I think that was in late 2014, maybe early 15. And that was the slate dog, or point removed slate, that I pushed for several years till he got run over. So that's kind of how I got started back into it. So,
you know, that seems to be common. Everybody that gets away from squirrel dogs or tree dogs in general, there's something about that tree dog that people want to go back to that I've really noticed since starting to do this. So I'm assuming y'all was just pleasure hunting at the beginning, or was y'all ever?
Well, I was. Gary and Joe, D, Patton, they all had run together for years. And you know, back then at Squirrel Dog Central and Squirrel Haters and stuff like that. I mean, they were local guys that I kind of followed their success, and you know, they were comp hunting, but I got into it for more the pleasure hunting aspect. I'd avid turkey hunter, you know, back then, and still hunt quite a bit, but you know, killed my legal amount of deer, I should say, and that didn't do it for me no more. I got to where I was sitting in a deer stand watching squirrels everywhere, and I'm pretty easy to get bored, you know. So that's kind of why I got back into it. I was going to just pleasure hunt, and then I was, like you said, intimidated. And Gary Joe both told me one day, D, I'd hunted with him a bunch, and with the tank dog, he had raised the tank dog, and he said, "Man, you might as well start comp hunting. You got a dog that can compete." And I didn't think I did. And you know, like you said, you were intimidated, but I could compete with him. So that's kind of how I got back, you know, got into the comp hunting was all those guys' encouragement. And you know, I took a few 25, 20, 25, $30 lessons back then, but you know, finally learned to, as they used to tell me, sleep of the rule book and you'll be as good as anybody else. So
Now, a lot of misconception is that all of y'all live next to each other or in the same area. And I don't think any of y'all just live real close, do you?
well, me and Gary and Joe, we always, it's Joe's president, Gary's vice president, and founding fathers, as you say, of LBK. But me and Gary and Joe live in Marlton. We all live probably 10, 15 minutes apart. And D lives at Clarksville. He's 45 minutes away. And Mike lives at Greenwood. He's another couple hours from us. And Brent, he lives over at Greenbrier, which is 20, 25 minutes from us. So,
I think every way I always thought it was is all y'all just live right there next to each other, and that's the reason y'all's
right.
all a group. It's just a good group of guys.
That's right. That's right. We all, they kind of, I guess, opened LBK membership up years ago and let some of us in, select few, and then we kind of gone from there. It's always a joke, you know, that, but it's, we're blessed. I just want to say, well, I'm very blessed to have a group of friends and guys that share the same love of the sport and can help each other work on their dogs. And any of us leave out of town, or everybody's, you know, quick to say they'll take care of your dogs for you, or drop them off here, or whatever, you know, help each other with the breeding program, or you know, rack each other's brain what this dog's lacking that they need, or whatever, you know. And it's shame that Adam and Scott, you know, is 15 hours north, because when they come down, we have a big time as well. So
Great guys also up there. Uncle Scott and Adam. So
oh Canadian,
a
oh
Canadian.
Canadian.
That's funny. So you started off, you said pushing Slade. Is that the dog you started with?
Slate,
Slate.
yes, sir. Slate, yep.
So what was he? You remember his breeding?
He's out of Gary Mitchell's Buckeye dog and a jukebox gyp, and a really good cross. His litter mate sister, which several of us tried to buy several times and you couldn't get her bought. She was probably twice the dog he was, and he's pretty solid, and just a real good cross. Just, I mean, probably couldn't compete as well today because he didn't make any extra trees, but he didn't miss any either. So he could tree them at laid up when nothing new. They were in a squirrel was in the woods, or he could go 700, 800, 900 to get treed. And he's pretty consistent. Had to figure him out on what weight to keep him and stuff. He couldn't take the heat as well as other dogs, but he once we got on the same page in the program, he I hauled him. Well, the year, I guess 2016, I won UMCA Dog of the Year with him. And I calculated that year we'd run like 22,000 miles. And there were
Whoa.
several more hunts then in the UMCA than there are now. So
Yeah. So is that kind of the foundation of the LBK stock was the jukebox and
no, really, I started out with Gary Sally Dog, and Joe Walker had Chomp, and several crosses made, good crosses made out of those, but
I mean, were those street bred dogs or what were
pretty
those?
much, if Gary and Joe may kill me, I'm not 100% on them, but they were more your street bred, smaller dogs. But
I put you on
Chomp,
the spot.
you did. That's all right. I didn't write nothing down or anything. So,
Yeah, it's your story,
Chomp,
so we're gonna
that's
tell it
right.
how you want to.
That's right. I'll tell it the way I want to. Chomp was one I got to see her go. D hunted her a bunch, coon hunted her, and I got to see her go day and night. And that dog could flip a switch. Like, she knew that she was squirrel hunting, or she knew it was time to switch over to coon hunting. And she's won many combo titles. Sally, she was just a squirrel dog, you know. I didn't get the pleasure of hunting with her in her prime or anything, but those dogs done a lot of good for them for a long time. Dee had the old Susie dog, and I took her one time and had her bred the old Briar Mountain Dude to John Newman's house, and you know, I don't know what happened to those pups, but Susie was one of those that, you know, everybody, you better not count her out, you know, because she could tree a coon, or she could tree a squirrel. So
Yo.
she was solid, you know. But the way the dogs have progressed over the years is a lot different than, say, Slate was when I was hunting him.
So, was Slate more of a go-getter, get gone, would you say, or hunt around you?
He did what he had to do to find a squirrel, and I don't mean that in a, you know, trying to sound arrogant
Yeah.
or dumb or nothing like that. I could see him. He wasn't just he you cut him loose and he didn't just blow out through the country. I've seen him, you cut him and he'd be 50, 60 yards over a blowed up tree. He had a big mouth, big locate, and have a squirrel. And then I've seen him peel out of there and go 700, 800, 900 yards. And if he did that, you better load up and go to the house, because it wasn't going to be a pleasurable hunt, you know.
Sound a lot like Spike.
A lot like Spike. If
Spike will tree
Spike,
them if they hear.
that's right. Now, during the world hunt, when I was the cast I drew Masai on, Wade looked at me and he heard me in there deep. I said, he says, "That's Spike." And I said, "Yeah, how far is he?" And I said, 800. He said, "Ooh, we in trouble." Because for Spike to go 800 yards to get treed on the first squirrel, that's, you know, that's unusual for him.
Yeah, well, that same that well, I guess the next round he treed what two right there back to back, and then he peeled on another.
I was hunting against you on that round, and he treed one. I think he opened his mouth right there about 50, 60 yards from us, and I knew what he was doing. I was fine with putting a three on myself, because I knew he was winding it, and you know, he drifted off the hill, come right back here. I think treed 70 yards in front of us. Y'all were down there, had a squirrel apiece, I believe, and we just dumped loose on some squirrels that morning.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we treed like five and 200 yards.
Right,
So,
right.
but anyway, so Slade was a, if they hear he's in trim, and if they ain't, he's finna go find one.
That's right. He would do what he needed to do to get on the car, as far as with a squirrel. I used to pride him in a clean card. That he didn't leave many trees. If I could put anything, you know, and say some of the younger dogs I've had, is it would be that he was, when he opened his mouth, he was pretty much there. I count on one hand in the year I pushed him so hard, the amount of trees he left, you know. And he was pretty confident in himself, you know. It took him a while to get his confidence built up on tree and layup, but he's pretty accurate.
Now, did you become partners on him, or was he still Gary's, or how did all that work?
No, I bought him outright for Gary, and from Gary, and he had just got him started and starting a tree, and I called him up. I was hunting another young dog from I think it was from Dwayne Holland, and he wasn't cutting the bill, you know, for me. And I called Gary, heard he had a young dog that was going pretty good, and he's like, well, he's not for sale, but I would sell him. Gary's type of, he'll sell something, you know. If he started a bunch of nice young dogs, and Gary likes a challenge. Him and Joe both always been good pup starters. I can tell you their secret recipe. If anybody wants to know, it's they hunt them. You know, they boot leather and taking them to the woods.
Yeah.
And he had just started, Slate had just started treeing good, and I called Gary, and he said, nah, he's by no means finished. I went out. It was hot one. When I tried him, he treed twice, had a squirrel in one tree, and I bought him from him. And he's very reasonable on him and answered a bunch of questions, and that's kind of where our friendship and the dog started. And I pushed him. I don't know. My goal was like 80 squirrels by itself before I took him comp hunting. So.
Well, so you started off, a little quick recap, you started off looking for a dog, you found one, you didn't know if he was good enough for competition, they told you he was, and then here we go to a competition. Now, was 2016 your first year comp hunting?
15, yeah, 15 I started, and then
16 you won dog of the year?
16 I won dog of the year with him, yeah, in the UMCA, and at that time, you know, I'm primarily hunt NSD, UMCA, you know, bigger stuff now. I don't chase all the smaller stuff. Not saying they're not as important as anything else, but when you get involved in chasing a title, you know how it is. You pretty well have to stick with it, or you miss a weekend or two and you're out. And but that year I was gonna try my best to win dog of the year with him, and we succeeded. And
that's pretty impressive for your second year comp hunting.
Right. And there was big crowds, you know, big crowds back then.
Now, was that time, was the dogs packing together, or was they kind of being by themselves at that time?
You'd have a mixed genre of dogs. I mean, it wasn't uncommon, you know, when we all first started it. Dogs like having company. Now I will say that ever since I started and started with Gary and Joe and Dee and all of us, we don't hunt them, pack on them a lot. Me and Mike had a conversation with a pleasure hunter one time, and me and Mike go hunting. Our dogs are not together. We treat twice as many squirrels as two or three dogs on the same tree. So, but yes, back then it was a mixed genre of dogs. You know, you'd see more dogs at your tree than what most people nowadays would like. But, you know, as far as like Slate was back then, he wouldn't cover. He liked to, matter of fact, he liked to be by himself too much.
Yeah.
If game came in on, you know, game, he treated game first and say, dogs piled in there on him right then, it wasn't nothing for him to dump him and go find his own. He wasn't ill or nothing. He just liked to be by himself, almost too independent, you know.
Now, that is curious to me, because since I've started, I would say 90% of the time dogs are by themselves.
Right.
But I hear the old stories of how it used to be a lot of calling contests and such as that because dogs were together. So I was as curious as to when that kind of transitioned, if you will.
That was probably when I started comp hunting, I would say, probably in 15, 16, 17, you know, dogs started leaning more toward people breeding for more independent, you know. It wasn't nothing to be like it is now, be all separated and, you know. But yeah, I have been involved in some calling contests as well. So,
yeah, it happens, and it's always going to be that they don't normally do that.
Right, that's the first time mine's ever done that.
And you know, I understand. A lot of times it is. You know, I've seen.
Well, hey, Every good handler's got to have a better excuse. I've had a bunch of them.
Well, I've also seen just a dog being outpowered, and they just you can see them break, and once they break, it's like, well, let me follow this dog around because it seems to figure out where they are a lot quicker than I can.
Right.
So.
17 when Gary won UMCA World, I think we had 46 or 47 dogs that year over at Hazen. And that was a challenge as a hunt director to place that many casts. But boy, I thought I had Slate as right as could be for it. And I drew Tommy Howard and his old dog. I can't think of the name of the dog right now. Me and him and another, I think it's John Mears. And I was beat right out of the truck, and I didn't know it. And a little while in, I asked him, I said, "Mr. Tommy, you mind if I put mine on the lead?" He said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "You just beat the brakes off of me, and I want you to save your dog because I'm done." I knew when to throw the white flag in. He had me and John. We both bowed out and said, "Save your dog." And I mean, he was up, literally up like four squirrels in 30, 40 minutes left. And
Wow.
I said, there's no way I can catch him, because every time he opened his mouth, he treed him and the dog had a squirrel. And it didn't matter if it was a couple hundred yards or 700. I mean, he's put on a clinic that morning. So I also know when to throw in the towel and call it quits too.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty respectable thing to do because most of the time people won't, and I'm one of them. I feel like, if I'm a squirrel or two, I feel like I got a shot because mine's finna hustle and get treed. But now
Right.
four's a, a little different
Oh
story.
yeah. Oh yeah. That's you and it's a bad feeling because you think you've done your homework and you can contend anywhere, but sometimes it just doesn't go your way. I mean, you got to have breaks and you got to have, but that morning right there, I just needed more dog power.
Yeah. So, how long did you hunt old Slate?
I hunted him till I guess he got killed in, I don't know, mid after the UMCA World Hunt, and I guess summer of 17, I guess that would be. I run him. I had a farm and everything then, and I just run him around the property, let him tree field squirrels and all that. And he had a pretty good handle on him, and he got over on a gravel road, but behind my place and got hit and killed. And so after that, I had the dog insured, and I traveled several miles, and so many miles my wife wouldn't even go with me no more because she knew I wasn't gonna buy a dog. And she said I was too hard to please, and if I come home with one, she'd be surprised. So I don't know, I went probably a couple seasons without him. I still put on hunts and everything. And then I bought Ace, went over in Tennessee, tried him out, and bought him. So I guess I got him in 21.
Now, who had Ace before when you got him?
You put me on the spot again. Kobe McCrory, him and Mike Powers had bought him from Adam. And Mike had actually called and told me that he knew I'd been looking for one, and he called and said he'd fit the bill. Brand new collar, Garmin, he'll do exactly what I tell you he'll do. And Kobe owned him outright, and I went and set up time, met up with him, and asked him if we could go, at least 20, 30 minutes away from his house and try him. I didn't want to try him in, somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
And he made a big loop, come back around, fell treed, cut him loose again. He hustled hard and showed a squirrel. I went down there and we gathered him up and told him I was ready to go. And we got back to his house and I just paid him for him and brought him on. So,
Now, how old was he? Oh, you might have said that a while ago. I don't know.
I think he's 10 months old or something like that.
Okay.
10, 10, 11, 10, coming 11 months old.
Now, I judged him in the junior world that year in the semifinals. He was hunting against Joe and another dog. I think it was a dock puppy. But that Sung Un forevermore has a mouth. Has had. I guess he's still got a mouth on him.
He still does. Justin and Tori, you'll own him now. But yes, he has a horn on him, I think. And I know it had to help with the ice on, and we were in open timber. But Dexter Alexander was live feeding that cast, and it always, I watched it, I don't know, a year or so ago, and you said, how far?
Yeah.
I said, I treat him at,
It
I
was over a
said,
thousand, wasn't it?
yeah, he's a little over 1,000 yards, and you could hear him on the, still could hear him on the podcast and stuff, or the live feed he was doing, and I treat him. We went in there, and I was pretty confident he'd have one, because he wasn't, Ace was not for the faint of heart, still isn't. Justin is, he's worked on him. He's got him about right. I would definitely in the future breed to him. He's got motor and he's got mouth. He's got more heart than most dogs. And but he's one of the go get gone, get treed, sit there type dog. And many pleasure hunts turned into not pleasure hunts. We can say that. But
He was more of the, when I saw him go, he was more of the gone and go, you'll find him on a tree somewhere.
somewhere, yeah, that's, and that may be a couple 300, which were very few and far between. I mean, we've had some pleasure hunts. I mean, me and Gary were pleasure hunting one day, and this third tree, third 700 yard tree, Gary said, if he goes another 700, I'm going to the truck. And he treed like four or five squirrels, three or four or five squirrels there in the next 500 yards, you know.
Yeah.
It turned into be fun, but he wasn't, you're gonna pick him up somewhere. Most time it was across water. They used to make fun of me for wearing hip waders all the time, but he didn't mind across water, whatever. He was gonna go find one.
Getting gone
And
till we find one. I mean, and I like that. That reminds me a lot of my dog style. So I've had several people ask me if do I pleasure hunt my dog? And I say, well, yeah. And they say, well, this is not pleasurable. I say,
right.
well,
I understand.
yeah, but these dogs ain't treat nothing when they walk with us all the way to the tree. So.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's it, and it's if they blow through the country and they're treed on their first tree 600, 700 yards, 800, whatever, and something trees, game up behind them, we fixing to go to work. But and there, I'm not saying there's dogs that hadn't done that with Ace. There was plenty, but not in that 100 yard path that he took through there to get there. But
Yeah.
he just, and he liked, I don't know, Gunner, man, you've talked about this before. He had a certain squirrel, a certain smell or something that he liked, and he'd be sitting there parked when you got there. And he done me right for, I mean, I have, he's got one win and a few points. I don't know. He may have enough wins with them swapping the Hall of Fame, right? Win over and lacking a few points or something like that. So he ought to be able to make Hall of Fame with him. He doesn't turn four till I think this month or next month.
Now, you won with him a couple of state races and NSD Dog of the Year. Is that correct? Or
Right.
Mountain Cur of the Year. Was it Dog of the Year or Mountain Cur of the Year?
Mountain Cur of the Year, I think 2021, 2022. I won Oklahoma and Arkansas the same year. Had won Arkansas State Hunt, Mountain Cur Dog of the Year, the 22, I believe. And I don't know, the same year, I think I wound up third in the overall with him. So yeah, he made some noise. He made some noise for a couple of years there. Of course, I pushed his guts out too.
Yeah. Now he was a 2-year old year, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2 year old and coming three. Made it to the finals of the LMC World Hunt against I don't know, it was Tom, I think it's Tom Smith and Junior Maynard. And of course I got third, but glad we split before we went out because I would have been toting third place money.
Yeah.
But anyway, he I made
Yep.
it to the finals with him, beat a few nice dogs to get there. You know, it's you could have shook them back up and could have had two or three more different dogs in the final, but we were fortunate enough to make it to the final of the LMC World, you know, that year. And he was, I say, a lot of fun to hunt. He always gave you a chance, you know, and that's all I could ask for. He had a lot of heart, a lot of go, and I can say that there's a lot of dogs that he would drown out with that mouth. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and he's a good looking specimen. That him and Hawk are, in my opinion, which is just my opinion, but some of the better looking dogs you're gonna see at a hunt.
Well, I appreciate that. He was a good, he good looking joker. I say was, he still is. Of course, he's got a wonderful home down there in Texas with his new owners. They'll treat him like royalty, and he got a big old head. He could take the heat. I mean, that dog could, he could take the heat. He should pass that on to some pups. So we bred him one time to Grace, Porcupine Mountain Grace, Grace Jr., of course. But Mike's, that's where Mike got the static dog from. So
Now he's just an athletic looking dog. What would that dog weigh?
Ace,
Yeah.
he weighed 60 pound in the off season, 56, 57 pound in hunting shape. He
Yeah,
he's
leggy
big,
dog.
he's big dog.
Yeah, good looking dog. He just looks like an athlete for sure.
He was he used to infuriate me. He me or you, whatever, get on the lead with him, get him on the lead, and he'd pull you down, jerk on you, whatever. And my wife sent me videos of her going and getting him. I've got about a 1 acre pen here. I just let him run and exercise. And of course, I treadmill him and stuff, but she'd send me videos of him walking beside her with the lead on the ground, and I'm like, come on now.
He knew mama.
He did. He was a big old baby around the house. He's tender hearted, big old baby.
You know, it is funny. My kids and my wife can go out here with Gunner and mess with him. But as soon as that collar or them boots come out, he turns into a different animal for sure. So I get
All
that.
business.
But so that leads me into racket. I guess racket's the next, or did you push anything
Yeah.
after Ace?
No, I mean, which I've hunted you know, I've hunted some Spike, some of course D and Mike and stuff's hunted Spike. I will say we got the pleasure of, you know, when just say nationals, Ace. I didn't want to take Ace to nationals. Of course I don't know if I'd sold him yet or not. I lose track of time. My the other day was a year ago, but Mike wasn't going to go be able to go to nationals, and Spike and Grace both were ready, so I just hauled Grace and hunted her. And so I've but yeah, Racket is the next up and coming. I started, Ken Grice raised her, and she's litter mate to the poker face dog. Adam O'Donnell raised her, and Ken got her back, and Ken had raised Racket and done a fine job raising her. I mean, she's a small dog. I went from a 60 pound dog to a 32 pound pocket rocket, and
Yeah.
she's very athletic, very, I mean, she tries to treat everything around you, but it's nothing for her to, you know, travel 700, 800, 900 thousand yards if she has to, but she's not looking to.
Yeah.
So she got real fast foot speed. Got a big nose on her, which right now is getting her a little bit of trouble, but she figures all that out. I think we should be in good shape, you know, upcoming season. That's what I plan on pushing. So pretty excited about her.
Yeah, really good looking dog. Brindle color.
Right.
Really good looking dog. Well, I didn't want to skip over all the other stuff. I was just wanting to talk about racket. So one thing I do notice about y'all's group is any of y'all is liable to show up with anything at
that's right
at
that's
any time.
Right. We're not prejudiced or jealous of one or the other. I mean, reality's what it is. If somebody's not going and their dogs, you got to ride one when they're hot. And, you know, of course, Spike's had a phenomenal year. And Grace was, it was, they'd have done better if, of course, it's not as fun to get to, you don't go hunt with your buddies, but they'd have done better to one hunt and,
yeah,
one state and one hunt in the other state or something, you know, because Grace and Spike both, it was back and forth ever where they went all year long, but both those dogs stayed hot all season, and until Grace, she hurt her leg, had to lay her up, Mike laid her up for about a month, and he took her back out at the World. But when I took her to Illinois, she looked as good as anything that you cut her loose with, in my opinion, you know, and how those opinions are.
Yeah. Now
she was straight squirrel mode, so.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, if you see an LBK, you better look at the name on it, because because this person normally pushes this dog doesn't mean that this is the person that's going to be hunting it. So
that's right. Well, you don't want to travel. You want to travel with the best. I mean, it takes money to run up and down the roads. Everybody knows that. And, you know, it's fun to go hunt and hang out, but I'm, you know, I like to go to win and I want to take the best dog, give me that chance, you know?
Yeah. Now, that being said, how many, do you know off the top of your head, how many World Hunt Finals, like, you've been in? I know you've been in at least one or two squirrel and quite a few coon.
I've won one or two. I know one for sure. I think two with Joe Walker's Rig Dog night titles. Never won a squirrel. I've been in two or three finals, like you said, and always choke. I guess kind of hard to call. I guess it's hard to call your dog both hands around your neck or something. But,
it's in breaks, man.
It is. And when you get to that point, to me, if you make the finals, and I commend everybody out there that pushes the dogs and puts in the hard work, you make it to any kind of finals, you know, on bigger state hunts or whatever. I mean, you know, props to you, because, you know, they earned it. There is a lot of breaks goes on, but there's a lot of hard work goes into these dogs, and it's just an accomplishment in itself to make it there. You know, Lord blesses us with the means to go do it, and an amount of knowledge that's out there that people are willing to give, you know, just not just this group.
Yeah.
Several other people have helped me along the way, you know. Oh, and yeah. I appreciate all them, and just the time spent with everybody is awesome. You know, there's a lot of good people out there.
Now, this year alone, you was in the finals of the UMCA World Coon Hunt. And
correct.
You was in the finals of the NSD World Squirrel Hunt.
Right.
So that's just in 1 year. I mean, that's a pretty good accomplishment for sure.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I'm just, like I say, I'm just blessed beyond measure to get to hunt good dogs and all the work that's went into them. You know, Gary had to go on a really long hike. I got beat first round with Racket, and Gary had to go on a long hike to get Spike, like a long hike. And you know how those hills are over there. And
yeah,
he's had a couple back surgeries and a neck surgery. And I told him if I got beat in the first round, I'd take over and handle. And when we met back up, he was out of pocket, I was out of pocket, and thank God Lane Parks found me and her, because he saved me about a mile and a half hike.
Really?
And yeah, and he picked us up and took us back, and Gary said, he's yours the rest of the hunt. So he looked good. Yeah, I was very fortunate to get to ride him to the finals. And no easy cast, though. They were all action-packed and all the way down to the wire. So,
you know, that's one thing I will say about the World Hunt is there was zero easy draws out of anybody over there.
That's right. I mean, 68, wasn't it 68 dogs this year? And man, you shake all that up again, that you could have, you know, any three different dogs in the finals, but there were no easy draws. Everybody was a contender. You know, it was pretty nice dog.
Yeah. So what about the UMCA World Hunt? Like, how are you associated with that? Are you on the board? Or are you just
not anymore. I was on the board member for, I don't know, several years. And even a time when I didn't have a dog and was looking for a dog, I would still go to Batesville and spring hunt and stuff and help and do whatever I needed to do, judge, guide, you know, conduct business. And then I was vice president to Bob for a while. And no, I'm not on the board anymore. It's just I host the state hunt, the spring or fall meeting over here at Hazen, have for last several years. And I just always leave the door open. If they want to host a world hunt here, I'll reserve the building, or Bob reserve the building, and me and my crew do whatever to help. And it works out pretty good because, I mean, we had to go on to Sunday morning this past year, and me and my crews told Bob going to the house, you know, you got a business to run and stuff to do. Well, we're a lot closer than you, and we just done what we needed to do to get it taken care of. So
yeah, and that really stands out to me that y'all's group, even though Gary was out and you was out, and Deed never, I don't think Deed hunted, did he? He just come and helped. I mean, he non-hunting judged and guided. I mean, most people, and me included, when I'm out, I want to go home to my kids. But y'all, right, the selflessness, if you will, if that's even a word, of y'all's time and energy to help run an event like that is pretty special. You know, I want to appreciate what y'all, or say thank y'all for what y'all are doing over there, because it's not going unnoticed for sure.
Well, you bet. I mean, without people willing to stay and do and help and all that, you know, this sport would have been gone a long time ago. And I have to give my wife just a huge shout out, because she's my biggest supporter. I mean, I work spring and summer. I work a lot of overtime so I can fund my addiction during the fall and winter. Yeah. And she never says a word. I mean, I might bring another dog or two or puppies or something home, and she'll be like, you need to get rid of something, because that's too many, you know. But she'll feed, exercise, help me take care of them, no questions asked. I just hand her the schedule for the upcoming year, and she schedules events and Christmases and Thanksgivings and stuff around it. But yeah, it's we enjoy it, you know. I feel like without people that are willing to do and help, it would have been gone a long time ago.
No doubt. Now, the one thing I have noticed, it seems if one of the dogs that y'all are pushing comes up injured or hurt or whatever, y'all just somehow magically bring them out of the woodworks and start winning with something else. Would you contribute that to maybe being in a bind when you... Now, am I saying it right? Slate or slate?
Slate.
Slate. So when Slate got run over, did that kind of be like, oh, we need to make sure we got us a backup plan next time?
It did for me. I'm not going to lie to you. I got caught with my pants down. Nobody had anything. Everything everybody had was what they were hunting. And, you know, it put me in a bind. I didn't have anything up and coming. So you know, I've probably give away or passed on down the line, you know, better dogs than I probably should have given more of a chance or whatever. But that told me right there that I need to have something young or something that's started and going as a backup, because I didn't have anything at that point. Nobody had anything else to hunt, or there's no doubt that somebody would have helped me out, you know.
Yeah. Well, you just never know. It's kind of like Mike hunting Grace, she hurt her leg, and here he comes out with Static. And that dog done pretty good in the junior world, didn't he?
That dog's going to be, me and Mike were talking one time, and I know you got to hunt with Mo, Murdered Out Dog, and certain things about him that, you know, Mike's picky. I know you know that. Mike's, if they're not right, and he's not going to debut them. And it was a joke. He said, we need a good blend between Ace and Mo. And he may have found that with the Static Dog. He's going to be something to look out for in the future. He's got a lot of good qualities.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. It's a double-edged sword of, if you've got multiple dogs, then you're not putting it's hard to put enough time into one that you're pushing. But if you don't have multiple dogs and something happens to your dog, you're in a sure enough bind. If you
are, and but too, if like the fall and early fall and winter, I fully believe that you can hunt one too much. We've all been guilty of it. So that cutting one loose, you know, cut a young dog loose in the morning, let him make a few trees, let it, you know, give him an hour, him or her an hour, hour and a half, whatever. Then break your older dog out, let tune them up. I think you can keep a couple dogs going, you know, equal pace. I think you can burn one out if you're not careful. So, but yes, you don't need to be down to one if something happens to them, or especially if it's a female and they come in heat, then you're sitting on the sidelines. So
yeah,
it can put you in a bind for sure.
Now, how old did you say Racket was?
Racket just turned 2 February, in, you know, right there around the world hunt time in February.
So do you have any future plans? You gonna wait to breed her? You gonna go ahead and breed her?
No, I'm gonna go ahead and breed her to Spike as soon as she comes in. Should come in right in June, middle of June. So I hope to go ahead and make that happen, mature her a little bit, and hopefully it'll throw her cycle out to where she doesn't come in the middle of December.
Yeah.
May not work, but I'm going to see what kind of, I'm going to at least mature and see what kind of mama she is, and, you know, place those pups in some hands that I know that they'll have a chance. So That's our plans with that. Just made a cross. Hopefully it took out of Josh and Audrey Perkins, birdie dog. That's where I got back from today. I met Josh over Memphis to take her back. Gary kept her at his place and we got her bred. So, Gary did. He had to listen to her and go through all the details of all that, but that cross was just made, so
that's that'll be a special cross. And Racket with Spike, which obviously you don't know it, you never can tell until they've had puppies, but that ought to be a heck of a cross for sure.
I would think so. I don't see why it wouldn't. She's got a really good mouth, real high pitch, which I like the Pac-Man stuff. He's reproducing pretty good, and she's got all the tools, and with Spike adding to that, I don't see how they could not turn out. If they do, it's, you know, you can breed the best of the best and have the worst, but
yep.
we try to breed squirrel dogs to squirrel dogs, you know, try to fill holes where needed. And but yeah, it's I got, and so now people can't say that I'm kennel blind, because I got one out here in the kennel that's got way more white than he does. There's not enough dye to cover up any spots on him, or, you know, open spots. So
you're gonna talk about that secret one?
Oh, that's that old Sugar Free Messiah puppy.
Yeah, that secret one going ham.
Well, he's an ex-hound. He got a quarter bird dog in there, but I'm raising one right now out of Messiah Sugar Free Cross, and I legitimately, it's on his papers, I named him Outcast.
Now, when I found out you had him, that did kind of throw me off because y'all are known for hunting a lot of LMC dogs and going to sporting all the LMC stuff. And
right.
Now, there's no secret. If you're wanting to do good in these hunts, a big mouth and a big motor normally helps. So
it does. And you'll never see me not have an LMC something. I mean, whether it be OMCBA, and we'll not get on that too much, but an OMCBA event or NSD or an LMC or NKC or whatever event it may be, UMCA, I can hunt them all with a Kerr, with a LMC Kerr. I'm passionate about the Kerrs. I love them, but I'm not opposed to hunting anything. I've said it 100 times. If it's a pink polka dotted poodle, I'll hunt it if it does it right.
Yeah.
But,
well, Michael and I have had that conversation a lot, and he's like, man, why don't you get you a tree and cur or a hound? And I said, well, while I would like that I like the idea of more mouth because that normally gets me in a bind because my dog's got more motor in his mouth. But
right.
If there's a UMCA hunt in Batesville or a OMCBA hunt, Clifton Robinson has multiple cur hunts, and it don't pigeonhole me into the NSD and the USDC. Now, I'm not saying that like that's a bad thing because there's a bunch of hunts, but
right.
If the weekend I have available to hunt, the only thing is a cur hunt, I like the idea of being able to go to the cur event.
That's right. It's more convenient when you're not limited to open events, but and I'm not downplaying any open events. I mean, if you know, Kerrs, as everybody can see, I mean, Kerrs can compete with anything. Look at Pig and Spike, you know. No, I don't think anybody would have had them pick winning the Nationals first and second, you know. But
yeah.
Everything has their day, but those two dogs are a competitor anywhere they go any day. But you're not limiting yourself when you're hunting a cur or LMC. I mean, you can hunt it all. So, but I'm not afraid to hunt one that's got a lot of wide on it.
Yeah.
I've been feeding him for, I guess they're about 6 months old now. He's got a pretty good start to life. He's pretty sharp. I think he's going to start pretty easy. So
now before I get asked this, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, you probably don't want to answer this, but are y'all going to keep, if y'all do cross Spike with Racket, are those going to be all in-house dogs? Or are y'all going to do a list?
I've got a pretty good list started, you know, of course, I've got to give Ken one. That was part of the deal. Ken Grice gets a pick female, which I appreciate him, you know, giving me the opportunity to own her. And I made that part of the deal that he could get one. And I figure Gary's going to raise one. Adam will probably raise one. And, you know, from there, I got a few that's on a list. But if there is any left to the that, you know, pending she has a few, you know, if there's any left, I'll offer them to people that's going to hunt. I mean, I'm not going to just limit somebody that's going to only competition hunt or whatever, but yeah. I like to keep tabs on them and see how they turn out. I'm not going to raise one myself because Gary's going to raise one at them, you know,
yeah.
Other people around close, but anyway, I'm going to raise hopefully that Birdie took, I'm going to try to raise one out of her and Spike. And I think Gary's going to raise one out of Rack and Spike. So that's the plan for now. So
you're getting two non-LMC dogs, or not two non-cur dogs. Birdie's yeah, not cur, is she?
Oh, she got a lot of cur in her. She got just too much white to put LMC papers on.
Oh, has she got OMCBA papers?
I'm
pretty
come
sure.
Come on, Cody.
Well, I was sitting there thinking, if it's the same dog I'm talking about.
Yeah, she got too many open white spots on her. A little bit more white behind the shoulders than OMCBA cares for.
Yeah. Well, I was just trying to think, and I was sitting there thinking in my head, I must be thinking about a different dog. But
yeah, Birdie's out of Woody and Penny, which Tyler Asbury, I believe, raised that litter, made that cross, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Now, I guess this would be the first female dog you push in competition, correct?
It is. I've always stuck with males, but I've been, everybody says you have to, female, you got to deal with them being in heat, and a male, you got to be deal with them being in heat all the time. But I've been fortunate enough to get the heat out of the males I hunt, one way or another. And anyway, but yeah, that'll be the first female that I've pushed comp hunting. So.
I'm curious. So the upside is not peeing on everything. They're normally not as aggressive. I know there's some caveats to that, but and then you ain't got to worry about them chasing females around. The
Right.
downfall is you work your butt off to get them ready to go to a hunt, and you've been planning on hunting this hunt for a long time, and then all of a sudden they're in heat.
That's right. That's what Tracy Rash can tell you all about that. He I think he has come in heat right before the first, he's already registered and everything else, and he's come in the heat before the world hunt started. So that's not a good thing. A few years ago, Gary was hunting one of Joe's gyps, and man, she went in her cast and was at her second, third tree, and the dog was smelling of her, and he reached down there and checked her, and she come in the heat right then. He withdrew and went to the house. That's middle of the world hunt. So
Yes.
that's not a good feeling when you've worked your tail off to get one to that point, and then they come in. But that's how it goes sometimes.
No doubt. Now I'm sure most people are curious how y'all got hooked up with Adam O'Donnell. You mind sharing how y'all as a group got hooked up with him?
That is all Mike Rush is doing. Gary won the UMCA World Hunt in 17 with Grace. I think she's 17, 18 months old, and against Razor. And then he went back to the final the next year and got reserved behind Lacey, Mr. Dooley, and the Lacey female. And she looked really good. Gary, matter of fact, in the final, I was judging it. Gary, with plenty of time left, said, "I'm done. Congratulations." Lacey put on a clinic that morning, and right after that, Mike called Gary and wound up buying Grace for him and Briar to hunt. Briar, I don't know if you've ever met Briar. He's just recently got back in it, but and Briar and he won a bunch of stuff with Grace Senior, and but that's how we got hooked up with Adam, was
Now,
with
that's
through
LBK
Mike.
Grace, correct? Not Porcupine Mountain Grace.
That'd be correct. That'd be Lost Bottoms Grace. She was everybody tried to breed her. Gary and Mike and Gary just flat told Mike, you can't breed her. She won't take naturally, whatever. And Mike had done his homework, and he wanted to breed the bud. And he got a hold of Adam, and of course, I'm gonna pick on Adam a little bit. He'll laugh when he hears this. Some others may not think it's funny, but he said these dumb Southerners don't know what they're doing. He said, "I'll get her bred. Just send her up here, and old Bud can get her bred." Well, he couldn't, so they used I think it was Schultz Veterinary Clinic there, and they got her AI'd and everything, and they had four puppies, which was Spike, Murdered Out, Grace, Porcupine Mountain Grace, we called her Grace Junior, and then a yellow female that I don't remember who's got her now, but she wound up being a squirrel dog too. She only had four puppies, so
That's a heck of a cross.
yeah.
So
So all of them have the three of the four have two the two male dogs have multiple titles. Grace is a Grand Squirrel Champion, finished well in the Mountain Cur Dog of the Year race this year. Well on her way to making Hall of Fame. So I know Adam done a podcast a long time ago about his best cross, and he may argue with me on this one. It'll be worth it, but I think that's probably one of the better crosses that's been made. But that's how we got hooked up with Adam, was through Mike and Mike wanting to breed the butt.
That's pretty cool. And since then, y'all start kind of struck up a partnership, if you will.
Yeah, Mike and Adam have partnered up on Grace, and then pushed him. And then, like, during the NKC hunt and stuff like that this year, me and Josh got to buy in on her and do our part there. And I hunted her through the NKC Battle of the Breeds hunt. So, yeah, that's it struck up a friendship for sure, just a godsend friendship. And we just call them LBK North.
Oh, that's funny. So when y'all are looking, do y'all have anything specific that y'all are looking to breed? Like, are y'all looking at traits? Are y'all looking at bloodlines? Are y'all looking at all of it?
Well,
size?
I mean, you got to sit in on a,
well, I
a
yeah.
conversation, you know. I mean, we're you try to, of course, we start with the founding members, Joe and Gary's bred more dogs than most people's ever thought about having. And they've always had good success because they go back to their coon hunting days. What does this dog lack? What holes do we need to fill? And you know as well as anybody by that conversation you heard us on, I mean, that was a real, what are we going to breed to conversation. And, you know, we're big on mouth, you know, motor, heart, all that stuff, but that's kind of the way we breed, or I should say conversations we have is what holes that we need to fill that this dog's lacking, and always trying to get better. I think you're going backwards if you close a blind eye and don't open yourself to make your dogs or your kennel better, then you're going backwards.
Yeah. So either, in my opinion, I've heard multiple, well, I think really my opinion, I've heard multiple schools of thought. Some people say, are they a good reproducer if they can't produce something as good or better than them? Other people seem to want to keep a lot of semen because they throw good dogs. What is y'all's?
Well, I mean, recently Gary had Spike collected that Spike and Ice cross, which you've seen the early starter, the one out of him that Adam's got. I mean, as of right now, she's showing a lot of promise, and Gary's got a male out of that cross that's clicking pretty good. And Trina, you know, he's still a puppy, but he's treeing his own squirrel. And we think that Spike's going to be a reproducer. You know, we're going to see. So Gary went and had him collected. It's if he is a reproducer, you know, and if Birdie took and a few of those puppies turn out to be really nice dogs and then breed the racket. And I think that I like his traits enough to breed to him. I think it'll fill some holes on her end and faults that he may have that she does better or whatever. I think it'll, but you don't want to get caught behind the eight ball and he does turn out to be a reproducer and something happened to him and you don't have anything to breed to, no straws, no semen stored or nothing like that. I think it's worth it. We thought it was worth it enough. Gary thought so enough to, you know, go have him collected, and he's going to do so till he gets a few straws collected on him. So,
no doubt.
I mean, me and you've had this conversation with you about you and Gunner. You know, you don't know whether he's going to be a reproducer until he has a few puppies, and then there'll never be any left if you know you don't get him collected, and you won't ever know.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I get
that. It's I was going to get Ace collected, and I wound up selling him, and there's no doubt in the future that I will. Me making a trip to Texas to breed to him. I need to fill a hole somewhere. So it's It's better to, well, we feel like it's better to be on the safe side and have something stored. I mean, worst thing you could do is pay the storage fee on it and nothing out of him turns out. You can tell him throw it away, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. That, and it's kind of a double-edged sword because if you're breeding dogs, or if you got a winner and then somebody comes over here and breeds your dog, you're kind of, in a way, helping them get something that can possibly, I guess, beat you, if you will. It's such a weird dynamic, in my opinion.
It is, but I'm not gonna lie to you. I'd be proud. I'm proud for anybody who takes a dog from us or whatever and beats me with it. 'Cause I mean, you at
Yeah.
some point earlier on, you helped make that happen. And I mean, if everybody out there is competitive, and I mean, it's a, we Adam's proud of us every time that we finish well or we beat him or whatever, because he helped make that happen. And it's just a kind of the best of both worlds in my opinion. If you can't beat them, join them. And that's kind of way we went. We wanted harder going, harder tree, and bigger mouth dogs, and that's what they bred towards and started pushing. And we're just blessed enough to get to be in the driver's seat now. Spike is not everybody's cup of tea. He is his mama's pup. By he just, if he has traveled to find one, but he's always gonna give you a chance to be in the winner's circle. He's one of them. So
No
he
doubt. Well, that was the other part of the sword. The
that's
other
right.
side is you're proud because they're hunting stuff out of your and think enough of you and your dog to hunt something out of yours because it's such a weird dynamic in these squirrel dogs to where when I was first looking, I was looking for any kind of squirrel dog. Mama, Papa, Joe's got a mountain cur over here. Cool. Now, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of getting a little snobby because you see breeds of dogs and you see this and that and this is winning, that's winning, and I think there's a big cross. And once you kind of dive deeper into it, I went from any mountain cur that was available close to I want something specific.
Right. Well, and it's just like it's a good thing they don't make them all the same, like they do make all different vehicles. It's
Oh,
something
yeah.
fits everybody, because what I like and what you like may be totally different. But at the end of the day, if it makes you happy and you keep feeding them, I'm happy for you. So.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, most pleasure hunters would shoot my dog because he's not finna hunt around you. I mean, that's just all there.
Yeah, I guarantee if a pleasure hunter had a hold of Ace at a young age, even when Adam had him till now. I mean, and sometimes Racket and Grace Jr. I mean, they're capable of doing what they have to do to find a squirrel, and that's not pleasurable sometimes.
Yeah, but I also tell people, well, do you want to get up before the sun comes up and come stand out here? And the dogs say, yep, there ain't nothing here. Let's go home.
That's right.
So.
That's right. We can't always set our days off on the best conditions when squirrels are moving days. And I'm not one to, if I wanted to walk on a dog, I'd just steal hunt squirrels. But that's some people like that, and that's fine too. It
Yep.
whatever makes a man happy. So
I get it.
But we pleasure hunt like we comp hunt. That's one thing that our whole bunch does. I mean, when we may line dogs up and start together, and after the first tree, we don't see each other till we get back to the truck. But we're always constantly working the dogs towards being better. That's one of
Yep.
the best things that we have going for us, is we're all there to help each other. And it's really nice to be able to do that.
No doubt. How often y'all going over to the camp during hunting season and hunting? If there's not a competition, y'all over
Every
there
week.
every weekend?
Every weekend, most of the time. I try to work 3 and 4 day weeks from about, I don't know, second, third weekend of September, about when annual outage is over for us, till the end of March. And then I go back to, I use all my vacation in the fall and the winter. And then I go, like I say, I work a lot of overtime in the spring and the summer. So we pretty much over there every weekend. My wife just wants to know what day I'm leaving and when I'm coming home.
That's funny. So, are y'all coon hunting at night also over there every night, or?
A lot. We just, well, it's, we don't have anything. I say we. I've just been blessed to, for took it for granted for the last several years that Rig and Yeti weren't ever going to get old. And then D's got Slim, which is out of Yeti. That's a really nice, really, really nice coon dog. And so we'd roll a right over into a coon hunt, and Gary just recently had to put Yeti down. He got a, I think he got some cancer in his neck, some of his lymph nodes or something like that. And he had to put him down. So there'll be no more Yeti crosses made. And Rig, he got to hunt probably his last competition hunt this past world hunt. So he's getting on up there. But Joe's got a really nice young dog coming on out of Rig that's, he can tree some squirrels and look good doing it. And he's starting to hunt him at night. So I figure this fall we'll be rolling right on into some coon hunts with him.
I could kind of see a sparkle in Joe's eyes the last couple of world hunts I've seen him over there. He might be getting that itch again to get back after it.
Well, this one he's got started. If he continues on, and he, let's just say he's really nice young dog, and Joe's done a great job of keeping him in the woods, and he's pretty proud of him, and he's pretty excited about him. And we had a very few days that we just have good kill days, because we don't kill a lot of squirrels. We'll shoot a few, but nothing like we did the last weekend of kill season here. I told him, I said, I've got plenty of shotgun shells and I'm killing a squirrel every tree that I'm gonna give them all to Racket. And Joe was hunting separate. And man, we got back up to the truck and we just said, let's cut these pups loose again. And it was 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and his pup showed us 3 or 4 squirrels, and they hadn't been on the ground in a long time. And it really impressed me, a 8-month-old puppy winning a squirrel that hadn't been on the ground since daylight. So yeah, his sparkle's
Well,
back a little bit.
that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'm happy whenever I see y'all at a hunt. It's a real enjoyable time, and y'all are always super competitive. If not in the winner's circle, placed towards the top. And man, I just like I said, I really enjoy hunting with y'all and hanging out. And y'all are great ambassadors for sport for sure.
Well, I appreciate it, and you're always welcome with us. Everybody, we try to be sane people all the time, and do unto others as best we can. And sometimes competition's getting, the tempers get flared or whatever. At the end of the day, I still want to leave the way we got there. So it's been a blessing. And I guess I'll bring up the breaking news. You hadn't brought it up yet. We can't forget Chris Sproul's probably the newest and last LBK member.
Well, yeah, that's on y'all. I don't know who's in the clique for sure. At one time I've got some gear. I don't know if I've made the
Yeah.
roster yet. I'm still in
I
promotion.
don't know. You hadn't I don't see LBK on that them Gunner papers yet.
So Chris Poole owns Boondock, correct?
Yeah, Chris was the founding, I guess, founding person in Arkansas for NSD. Years ago, he's the one that brought NSD to Arkansas, and he's Boone's still alive. He's like 15 years old, lives in the house. He lets him out, lets him run around the yard, and He lets him know when he's ready to get back on his bed. But yeah, Chris recently retired, and he's got a camp over there close to us, and he run hard with us this year, and me and him's gonna travel a lot of miles together, gonna hunt some pro hunts this coming year. And but yeah, he's gonna be running the roads hard now that he's hit the retirement stage.
I need to get him on here and talk about Boondock. He won a good bit back in the.
You bet. And I was blessed enough to get to go with him. He was, in my opinion, which we know what opinions are, and Boone was a dog that was well ahead of his time. He, day or night, I mean, he was something to be seen. He was a reproducer, and he was a fun dog to get to go watch.
Yeah, shout out Chris. He's a great guy also. All of y'all are. I mean, most I'm sure there's some haters out there that obviously hold a grudge 'cause nobody likes winners, but
Well, I don't look at it that way. I mean, there may be, but personally, I would hope that I hadn't done anything to anybody to want them to hate me for it, because I try to get along with everybody myself. But I'm sure there are. And Chris and Mike, after I took over handling Spike at the World, I got to give them a shout out. I looked on my Garmin and kept up with it. After that first round, Gary hunted Spike. Them guys covered about, I don't know, it was ungodly, like 23 miles with me after that in those hills.
yeah.
And I mean, that support system we have for each other is pretty amazing. That they could have easily said, I'll stay at the truck. Nope, they're going to see, which Chris went to watch Messiah when we drew each other, but he made every step we did, so.
No doubt. Well, Gary and Joe saved me some miles whenever, or I say yards, whenever. Mine at the end of my run at the World Hunt, they got to walk in there and pick him up next to the road over there, so.
I gotta give a shout out to Gary about the play-by-play. He I didn't know he
Yeah.
was the media man that he was till I went back and read all that. He Joe, old Joe helped us judge and guide, and they all step up when asked to, because there's been several years that I don't even ask them anymore. I just tell them, hey, we're having a hunt, I'm putting on this or whatever, can y'all help place people, and never have backed up. Yep, you just tell us where to be and what to do. So
Yeah.
they always come through for me. And that goes outside of hunting. I mean, they help me build pens, and we help each other build camps, and we pretty lucky and pretty blessed on the not just to hunt with each other, but pretty well do a lot together. Excuse me, in the off season too.
No doubt. Well, I think you're referring to the UMCA world. I was talking about the semifinals of the NSD world when they got to drive around there and pick my dog up. I had to walk.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That was a tough break for you. I mean, I'm glad it happened to you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the honesty.
Well, I mean, at
Yeah.
that point, I
Yeah.
figured we was gonna have a two dog cast. So,
Yeah. But yeah, Joe and Gary walked with us on the final cast of the UMCA world to help look. Gary found one of my squirrels.
well, yeah, we're not gonna cheat you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just, I'm
If
just
you go,
saying.
I mean, it, I forgot about that. They had to go up there and sit by Gunner. What was he, 50, 60 yards off of? I mean, it wasn't a main highway, but it was a paved road that I would have not wanted my dog sitting by
Yeah.
for.
Sat there treed for about 45 minutes, 50 yards off
Yeah.
paved road. So
See, there you go. There's a bad break. There's another. We talking about breaks. That was a bad break for you.
yeah. Well, you gotta get 'em, man. If your dog trees a squirrel and it leaves, and your dog stays there, I mean, it's just it is what it is. It's one of them situations. These squirrels, they're sometimes not very cooperative, so.
That's right. That's where I got a good break. when I drew Messiah, of course, you know, we went into sudden death, and we Spike's second tree. I had to walk. I went ahead and handled him, walked all the way to Messiah and back. And I said, "There's no way that squirrel will sit there." 41 minutes later, we get back, and Wade want to know where I saw him. I said, "He's in the fork right above his head." He said, "Well, plus him up, let's go." I said, "There's no way that squirrel." He said, "Plus him up, let's go." But that squirrel sat there for 41 minutes till we got back. And Bart don't usually get that lucky. I mean, my wife tell you, I'm liable to get lightning struck on a sunshiny day. But
well, you hunting top notch dogs and have a great family, so you got lucky at some point.
That's right. That's right. Lord bless me with a good wife and a good bunch of people to be around. So
no doubt.
Great kids and a new grandbaby. I mean, I'm on top of the world. So
yeah, y'all have the same smile.
Well, I appreciate that. I got more compliments, or I say compliments, more comments saying that's my mini me. I'm just he's already got a world beater in the pen. He just doesn't know it.
I heard that. I heard that.
I can't wait till he's ready to go. I mean, as long as he can communicate to me what he wants, needs, or wants, I don't mind to mess with a dirty diaper. He got to be a little more mobile than he is right now.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, they get heavy. You go to walking 2 or 3 miles with them.
But see, that's the thing. When I was hunting Ace, he was big enough. I could have put him on his back and let him ride him. But now, Racket, you know, I don't know if she can tote him very far.
You could have stuck a GoPro on the baby's head and just see where all they went.
Put a little pony saddle on him.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, Bart, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to that you hadn't before we?
Well, I'd like to say my wife. You know, first and foremost, God. Without him and, you know, my salvation through Jesus Christ, nothing would be possible. I wouldn't be able to be blessed the way I have. My wife, my best friend is her. I mean, she does a lot for me, and we have a good relationship, and I've got 3 great kids. Blessed that my son, I hadn't, you know, give a shout out to my son, Joseph. He's won a world title, world night title with Rig and as well. And Joseph's he's showing some interest in wanting to follow one, so hopefully that comes to pass in the next year or two.
But
my crew, all the people that supported me, you know, getting us this far, I've just been blessed beyond measure. It's all the people that's willing to help you. The help's there. If you ask for it, you can get it.
No doubt. Y'all have an awesome group. It sounds like you got an awesome family. I met your boy. He's a great guy. So I know you'd be proud of him.
I am. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. You know, we don't just talk at hunts. We talk all the time. And I appreciate what you do for the sport and getting the word out there, you know, that all dogs and dog hunters aren't bad. You know, it's a good sport to be in and a lot of good people in it.
Well, I appreciate that, man. We're just trying to grow the sport, keep it going so that grandbaby can come out there and hunt.
That's right. That's what it's all about. And without young people getting started, I mean, it will go away. So sometimes, myself included, we need to think about that. And we got young people on the cast with us. Let them, you know, we need to be role models to them instead of making it one of the worst experiences they've ever had. So
no doubt.
That would be some up and comers that we need to be setting good examples for.
No doubt. And while we're talking about that, I'm going to challenge the guys that want to come to a hunt but don't think they got something worth bringing. You don't know until you come. Come on.
That's
out
right.
There. People's going to be joking with you. All you need to know is read the rules. Come out there.
There's one thing about it. You're going to have a good time. Either way, you're going to get to see some good dog work and learn a little bit on the way and have a good time. That's my goal. Is when it's not fun to me anymore, I'm gonna quit.
No doubt. Well, Bart, I'm finna go and cook some supper, buddy. But I really
Y'all
appreciate you coming on here, man. It's always a blessing to talk to you, and we really appreciate you and wanna just tell you we follow you and support y'all as a group.
I appreciate that. I appreciate all the support, and thank you for the opportunity to come on.
Yes, sir. Well, buddy, I'm going to let us go then.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. We'll see.
See you.